In this life, gotta make your own deals, chase your own thrills, pay your own bills. On the outer loop, sitting on chrome wheels, phone synced up to the newest chrome bills. On air, who cares if it's right or wrong? I just care which guests they invited on. Without a minute to stall, and there was liquor involved with some hype songs. And the night is young. Right on cue, the talking begins. And we check out what Steve Bill's got on the blends. A bit grimy, a backdrop from the late 80s to the mid 90s. Till it finally takes us to a rhythm that works. And K-Chrome spits a verse that he didn't rehearse. Both flex skills, proving it's all in. So gather round for the newest installment, Chrome Bills. Episode number
13, right? 13?
The luckiest number there is.
13. There's no 13th floor. There's no flight 13.
It's the Jason Voorhees ep.
There is a 13th episode of Chrome Bills, though. Let it be known. You know what you can't find is episode 11, 5, or 3.
I think Steve 10 is, might also be missing.
Steve is... Well, oh, you 10, know.
No, 10's out there. It's 11, 11, 3, 5, and then there's like a 7C that's missing.
But that's why... This is why
Pro
they're
Bills
missing,
math
though.
Right there.
Steve went Friday the 13th. He's Steve Voorhees. For the people who can't see this video right now, Steve is wearing a hockey mask, and he's holding a machete.
And
he killed those episodes.
And I'm playing hockey. Right. For some strange reason, I'm also wearing ice skates. I took the joke a little
too
far.
It's a good look. I think you look a lot taller.
But here we are in studio, as always. We have the one and only Steven Bills.
How's everybody doing out there? This is my radio voice. I'm glad to see everybody.
The one and only C's Mike.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
Who are you?
It's me.
And who are you?
And I'm transmitting live from Money Making Many Haha. K chromosome.
That's a new one.
Money haha.
Money haha.
I think you're on to a new slang word. I think you should make us. I think LL like, Cool J will be making a rap song about money hoo ha pretty soon.
I feel like a country bumpkin because yesterday I asked somebody if they were Jonin, and you're throwing out money ha ha.
You're my money haha, Chuck.
We asked 14 people for a slang word for Manhattan. And here's what they said. Do I see money haha on the board?
True that. So you've been up there a couple weeks. How you liking it, man? You been out to see any shows?
I'm loving it, man. On a Tuesday night of this week, Icon the Mike King, who Cole and I have, you know, recorded music with and known for probably 15 years.
The homie.
Was doing a show down in the East Village or the Lower East Side or Alphabet City or somewhere in that area. I'm still figuring out my New York geography. But it was pretty dope, man. It's a couple rappers just rolling through, kind of hanging out. It was a free show. So at one point I saw, let's do some name dropping. I saw Mr. Len.
Name drop.
I saw Many Styles. Saw Homeboy Sandman. And saw Pharoah Monch. So it was pretty nice roll call.
I feel like there's a Static Selecta track coming soon featuring all those guys.
Yo. That's very true.
Here's a hip-hop debatable. Who's had the best career out of those people?
Wait, easily Pharoah Monch.
Right.
Yeah.
Who do you think?
I mean, for money, it's Pharoah Monch.
Who do you think will end up at, like, do you think Homeboy Sandman can have a better career than him?
In terms of, what, notoriety?
Both being dope and having commercial success.
Definitely being as dope, yes. Yeah. I would agree to that. There's too many MCs now to be successful.
I feel like Simon Says is, like, that is a fucking, that's like an Annie Up level rap song. And for whatever reason, he doesn't really get the credit he deserves for making that.
I mean, if you were breathing in the United States in 1999 or 2000, you've heard Simon Says several times. I mean, there's just no denying that song. Someone might be like, I don't know who Pharoah Monch is. And then you just play and they go, brum, 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 and they're like, oh yeah, I know this.
They sued the shit out of him.
Yeah.
That song.
What is that, Godzilla? Yeah. We can talk about it without feeling bad since he already got sued.
Oh no, yeah, he got sued big time.
Well, that's the thing I look at it with is in terms of how unusual that was, his whole steez was having crazy ass style. Like, he had the illest confrontation verse on Bring It On, Motherfucker, Bring It On, where he throws out like six styles. And so that'd be like Freestyle Fellowship making 93 Till Infinity. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I think Homeboy Sandman is the most interesting of those dudes, because he can be that way style-wise. I've heard him do songs where he has like eight different styles. But I also feel like he's that dude that could create, you know, a Simon Says level song, an anthem, you know?
Yo, I think, like, What You Want From Me, if it was a different climate in the radio, would actually be a potential radio single.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Song,
I know Steve knows that song.
It's very well produced. It's got a catchy chorus, and the lyrics are crazy.
I mean, he even hits like a shooby dooby in there. That's dope as hell. I was trying not to gas him too much when I saw him, but I definitely told him that we saw him at 9:30 Club on the Brother
Ali tour. Did you tell
Ali
him you
tour.
Were a fan at least?
Yeah. Okay. No, I rolled up, like, I came outside and he was talking to Mike and I was like, yo, big fan. I mean, if we had more than 12 Twitter followers, I would have been like, I want to get you on my podcast.
You just got to try.
I told you, man. We got to get to 1,000 listens at least. I think we're at like almost 500.
No, there's not a chance. We're at 300 somewhere.
Well, you made an interesting point too about the Twitter thing, where you said we got 12 followers and three of them are us. How many of those 500 listens are the three of us?
I've got at least 20 listens in there.
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't listened to any episode.
Have
more
you
than
listened?
Once.
I'm curious. To know if you've actually
every
listened
episode
to
since you started sending
since
them to
you
me?
Started.
Yeah, basically. Well, are the other ones available?
Have you ever listened to the ones you were
on? Are they
on
SoundCloud?
Yeah.
I am ashamed to admit that I haven't. God, I'm such a douche.
Hey, to be honest, I wouldn't listen to those episodes either. When
I think that at this point, it would actually be pretty cool to go back and listen to.
Yeah.
So I'd listen to it once, you know, like all the way through at work, then burn it out, take it in my car. Definitely like two each.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know what we should do is crowdsource this.
What does that mean?
We should have some kind of contest for our listeners where they do shit for us and we give them nothing.
I was hoping that you were going to give away CDs to at least one listener.
We can give out vinyl. I got vinyl for... I'll autograph
let's
vinyl.
Okay, all right, so let's come up with a contest. We'll come up with it now. But
here's what I think it should be.
Okay.
Let's get our social networking going. Like, you know, I don't know. It could be posters. It could be, like, somehow spreading the word.
Wait, are posters social networking?
Posters are not social networking.
Is Minnesota
just a
city?
Just a civil crime.
Well, yeah. I'd be happy if you guys would just... You can take over the Chrome Bills Twitter feed if you'd like.
Well, what I'm saying
I'll take it over, man. Steve, I feel like you work so hard, man.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Hey, yo.
I'm crying right now. Oh, I got a pet peeve. So if you guys hear me say right now again, you can punch me in the shoulder.
Like, you use it.
I say
over
it way too much. Mm. It's just one of those.
But you're things. Always in the moment. That's
you can't start to break yourself down. Like, now that you've listened to yourself
no,
do so many things,
toast,
you can't
this is
decide.
My Toastmasters moment. I want to become more eloquent with my public speaking.
When?
So I'll give every listener $1 if you can point out a time when I've said right now, after right now.
Well, when do you want to be able to use these skills? Like, right now?
What moment are you in?
Hey, so I was thinking I want to give a shout out. I also want to stop saying shout out, but that's beside.
When
the
do you
point.
Want to stop?
Shout out
right now.
So let's give some credit to our early listeners, because I know we have a few.
Jan Diaz, dude. Jan Diaz.
Jan is number
Carib
one.
Man.
If you go to the SoundCloud, Jan Diaz.
He has the most listens.
Yay Deezy has the most listens. He's above 40, I believe. All right. The next in line is somebody called O Money. And I have a feeling it's my friend Omar. So big shouts out to you. And then number three is Tone, a.k.a. Broadway.
Who I saw today, by the
Very
way.
Very cool. So shout outs to our listeners and Dre. I'm going to give a shout out to Dre, even though he fell off the bandwagon.
I think we should get Tone on one of the next episodes for sure. We just got to make sure that he records his vocal track.
That's a good idea.
The first time through.
That's a good idea.
So we don't have a really good flow going and then lose it.
So Hickey's been listening and reposting.
Oh, shout out to Hickey. I don't know who this guy is, but he's a big listener.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Hickey's been doing it. Yeah, that's true.
Thank you, Hickey.
I'm a big Hickey fan.
There's a couple people that the
I call him Jay Brome though. there's a long story behind Jay that, but Brome. It's really funny.
Yeah.
One day we'll get Hickey on and we'll have him explain the Jay Brome story.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked having the guest last week. That was good.
That was cool. We need more guests.
Yeah, I thought shout out to Cam One.
Indeed.
Peace to DJ Cam One. And
speaking of Cam One, I don't want to derail where we're going, but it didn't seem anywhere.
Are we going anywhere?
So I listened to the one with Cam One, and I went and tried to do the Google Street View of Bill's Chrome.
Yes.
And you can get within a block. But Google decided that the actual street that Bill's Chrome is on, not worthy. Like, you get to a four-way intersection, you can only go three ways, and Bill's Chrome is like 600 feet down. Thought that was kind of funny.
All right, what up?
Pretty soon when I have a Google car, though, I'll just take it to Bill's Chrome.
True that.
So I was reading in Forbes magazine that you should sit on balls more often to strengthen your core. How do you feel about that?
I definitely agree.
Sitting on balls.
My back is a nightmare. And so sitting on this rubber ball has been good. I mean, honestly, it's to the point where the only thing that feels good, like 60% good, is laying on a flat, hard surface. Now, if I could get a lifestyle...
Is that why you're standing right now?
Yeah.
I'm doing a podcast with Steve and then Cole's torso. Yeah.
Dude, if I sit down for like 90 seconds, I'm like, I feel like I'm on fire right now.
He's saying right now, just for the listeners, he just said it twice.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yo, speaking of things that Steve says a lot.
Right now?
I would like to talk about the fact that on episode 8 or 9, we gave you homework to write a verse. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And that happened.
That did happen.
And I understand that technologically that I'm in New York.
Yes.
And that you guys are in D.C. and it would be very tough to cue it up right now.
Sure.
But I think in post-production... Okay. When the podcast ends, the podcast should end with you playing your verse that you did.
All right, at the end of this episode, I will play the my first 16-bar rap.
So don't be fucking fickle with the way that I finesse it.
And I really enjoy, and that verse.
Yo, Cole and I haven't talked about this. I know you. We'll let you talk about it. But Cole, were you shocked? Like, my first verse ever, 100 times whacker than Steve's verse.
Well, here's the
Steve's verse is actually very nice.
Here's the thing about
my first verse, not nice.
Here's the thing about Steve's verse. When we freestyle, let's say overall you have like 36 lines. Pretty much every time you start when it's your turn, and then invariably like you'll hit on another one. Out of those 36, like 12 of them will be dope. Clever, like you spit it on beat.
I appreciate
it. So with the verse,
12, you mean one, so that's cool.
Well, no, it's like you. So it's like a 16-bar verse. Like
sure.
I'm sure that with time, I was surprised how good it was. I wasn't surprised that it was good. What's a record? Really, what's a record if the DJ don't select it? Like,
yeah, I was like, what the fuck, dude?
I was definitely prepared to be.
My
like,
first verses were like people getting stuck by Chuck. Got bad luck.
You said people getting stuck by Chuck, and that's bad luck.
Uh-huh. It's like you had a head-on with a runaway truck. Fuck. That was my first two bars.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Cole, you know your first two bars, too. Biggity back the fuck up.
Biggity back the fuck up.
Every great journey begins with one step, and then that.
That's a good way to start a
But it's such a dichotomy. Like, the first line is like some like crazy ancient wisdom. The second line's like, fuck off, dude.
Yeah. That's kind of what my last four bars.
So biggity back the fuck
my
up.
My last four bars, I sort of ran out of steam. So yeah. I was like, I better wrap this up.
Yeah.
Oh, at first, I bet when you were at bar 12, you're like, I'm going for 100. This verse is going
to
be crazy.
It took
long.
Me a good half an hour to write the Peter Piper section of it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But your delivery was really on point with it.
Yeah, I did that at one take. That was a one take, Jake.
Really?
Yeah, wow. That was one take.
Nicely done.
So,
how much did you practice it?
I like the lead-ins.
Once.
You know, like, I feel like lead-ins are the hardest thing to get comfortable with. Like, I thought you were just going to be like, yo, all right, check it. And you were like, this is not a fucking game.
I thought the ad-libs were the best part. I'm not trying to get gas, but that's my favorite part of the verse. Yeah.
I pictured you doing 50 takes of the ad-libs.
I think vodka was the thing that got me ready to write. Yeah. I think every verse should be written off a glass of vodka.
Actually, episode 13 of Chrome Bills is sponsored by Tito's Vodka. I don't know if you knew that.
All right. So, yeah, I appreciate the feedback. You guys are too kind. You're definitely one of my favorite. Both of you are my favorite MCs, and I definitely look up and respect you both immensely when it comes to rhyming. So,
thank you.
It meant a lot hearing the positive feedback.
It's moments like that. I can't believe I don't have the soundboard in front of me. Cause I would just be hitting like and be like, oh no, Reels. Hey yo, hey yo. Hey yo, you must want to be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I feel you. This is my favorite break of all time.
I should know what the original of this is, but I don't know what it is.
This was the break that they played during the Saphir casual battle at the beginning.
Yeah, it's a I know the hip hop artist that first used this. It was Roxanne Shanté, Big Mama.
Really?
Yeah.
That
so there's an instrumental,
amazing.
And that's usually what the DJs are cutting up.
Yeah.
And I have two copies of it, and I can't cut that up as nice as.
It's a perfect battle beat.
It's an amazing drum beat. Yeah. And this is also the beat that Biggie was rhyming on in the freestyle video.
So here's an interesting thing. I always wondered why I didn't hear this used in battles, but I'd hear people during their live sets, like Idea and Abilities, through this drum break, and actually during a song. But so is there not a song that incorporates this drum break, or people would just always cut the break?
Roxanne Shanté.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think
is it an open drum in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple spots on the instrumental where
there's
open drums.
It's crazy to me you don't hear it more often, just like at an open mic or something.
Yeah, dude, once I found one copy of that, I was like, I need to get another copy of this stat. It's one of the dopest, instrumentals you could have.
Right. Hold on, let me get my ball.
Yeah, I'd like to hear your sponsor, too, if you have one.
Tonight's sponsor is Maybe Baby Wipes, brought to you by Maybe Funke from Arrested Development. They're shaped as $100 bills, but they completely turn your asshole green because everything about what she does is fake. Maybe Baby Wipes. Yeah.
Bill's Chrome is lucky to share sponsorship with such an incredible sponsor. And that is the truth. So I think we've been getting some reaction on the SoundCloud, though. I thought the funniest thing I saw, and I know, Steve, you probably you shared some of the feedback you've been getting like directly from friends.
Yep.
But on one of them, when I talked about the e-cigarette, somebody posted a picture of a guy shaving with like a hole in his neck.
Yeah,
did you see that?
That was Ralph. Shout out to Ralph.
Oh, Ralph's on one of the email threads. I can't remember which one. It might be on all
the music.
Was the whole?
Oh, he's
the
on the music email. Shout out.
That nicotine's bad, or whatever. That cigarettes are bad, right? Or did he shave a hole in his neck?
He was kind of a buzzkill, actually. To bring it back to.
Oh, Ralph. Hey, that guy's mutilated. I was having such a good day.
Do you guys have any interest in going?
As I go for the e-cigarette,
you guys have any interest in going into the first segment here? How about the only segment?
I mean, I have a couple topics I'd like to address.
Okay, let me go, because this will be relatively quick, okay?
I like this. Let's do it.
All right, so in light of the influx and outpouring of new hip-hop releases, I decided to take some bars, 16, I don't know. I don't know if they're 8, 4, 16, but I've got small bits of verses from five artists, and I'm gonna say the verses and then give you guys the MCs, and then I want to have you guys try to match the MC with the verse.
This is so complicated.
It's match the rapper with the verse.
Gotcha.
Okay, and these are all.
Can you list the rappers first? So I'm gonna write them down real quick.
Yes. Okay.
Can you list the rappers first?
I think
first?
That's a good idea. The first one is Wale.
Okay.
I'm mixing these up. Second one, Kanye West. Third one, Action Bronson. The fourth one, Mac Miller. And the final one, French Montana.
Do you have a pen?
This is going to be tough.
Hold on. Cole is looking for a pen.
It's Wale, this is going Kanye, to be tough. Action Bronson.
Yep.
Cole, in all honesty, how many of these rappers have you ever even heard of?
Definitely those three. The fifth one I hadn't heard of, the like French something.
French Montana. New York artist.
And then who's fourth?
Mac Miller.
Okay. All right, okay. I'm good.
All right. So I gave those artists to you randomly, so it's not going to be the first person I say here. All right. And
Wale.
And there's a theme here. All right. And the theme is misogyny. Okay. So I'd like to make a quick disclaimer that we're not endorsing these things. We're also not disrespecting them either.
But you also like the Rick Ross rape song. I'm noticing
she
a trend.
Ain't even
okay. So the cool, there is something yeah, that was a good pull. So these all have to do with new releases in hip hop, misogyny, and it's only for comedy, so please don't get offended. Okay? I'm not gonna be able to do this on beat. I'm just gonna read the lyrics, okay?
All right, so Cole, we're both going to guess, and then Steve will give the
AC
answer.
AC Alone.
We can just rotate who goes first.
Okay. I need a wifey.
AC Alone.
Okay, you listening?
Yeah.
I need a wifey tongue longer than cakey. Shoot the gun right when I whistle. Plus, she will never snake me. Do a split on my dick. If I'm sick, she'll even clean me if I shit in my pants. So I'm taking her to France.
Wow.
I'd say Mac Miller.
Okay.
I'm going to go by deduction. That is not Kanye. So, and it's not Action Bronson. I'm actually going to go French Montana.
That is Action Bronson.
Oh,
the song is
shit.
Called No Time.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. I immediately said that is not Action Bronson.
All right. Up next. I want to fuck you hard on the sink. After stop. I want to fuck
you. Cole, you got to laugh out away from the mic.
Sorry.
I want to fuck you hard on the
sink. That was so funny, though.
Stop. I want to fuck you hard on the sink. After that, get you something to drink. Step back. Can't get spunk on the mink. I mean, damn. What would Jerome Romy Rome think?
That's a dope line.
Wait, who is Jerome Romy Rome?
From Martin.
Oh, wow.
Guesses?
I'm going French Montana.
Yeah, I'll go French Montana.
Wrong. That is Kanye West.
Okay.
Fuck, I wanted to say Kanye.
All right. Next up. In the penthouse with the pants down. With the camera out, no hands now. Those are hard drugs. We don't ran out. Can't believe that's someone's grandchild. She's so...
Oh, my God.
She's so bad, but I like it. Wait. She's so bad.
That's straight up. That's the problem.
Stop,
right there.
Stop.
Can't believe that someone's grandchild is actually one of the hottest rap lyrics of 2013.
Okay. Let me finish this out because it gets better.
I'm crying.
In the penthouse with no pants down, with the camera out, no hands now. Those are hard drugs. We don't ran out. Can't believe that's someone's grandchild. She's so bad, but I like it. Want to hear your pussy, I'll mic it. My credit card bill is so righteous, but girl, that ass is so priceless.
That's really good.
I'm going Wale. Coming in hot, coming in early, Wale.
I'll say Wale, too.
That is Mac Miller.
Okay.
Wow. You guys are 0-3.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd be 0-6 if you had it.
This game is impossible, by the way.
At this point, it's 50-50.
Okay.
Wale and French Montana are all that's left. All right,
you ready?
What if it was a trick question? The answer was Wale featuring French Montana.
It might be that, so don't rule that out.
All right, so actually, Steve, in typical game show fashion, I'm going to recommend... You now read both lines.
Okay.
Because as soon as we guess one and you tell the answer.
Right. I think that's
so
good.
That's both good.
You watched a lot of game shows in your day, haven't you?
I'm addicted to podcasts.
Okay. I be gifted when I'm faded, faded all the time. Though they thought they loved me when I made it, ninjas hated all the time. It's a dirty game trying to find a bitch, maybe get married. That's like pissing in the freezer trying to make canaries.
That's Wale.
Okay. Fame has made me more foolish. What would you do with all these lusty groupies? And I know that God has made me only human, but I'd like to take the time to describe y'all my favorite woman. Teeth white and bright, and still talk to me like we back home. And the weed? That's optional, because my only concern's that are headstrong. And her feet? Let's see. Of course you know I like them clean. And I can understand a little bruises you've been running through my mind all week.
That's Wale.
That is Wale.
Yuck.
Yuck. Alright, that can,
so
that can,
French Montana was the first one and Montana.
Tony
Montana.
What state are you from? Montana.
So that concludes this this week's episode of Match the Rapper.
Okay. That was awful.
Yo, I'm gonna go out on a limb.
Yes.
And say that that should be up there with Keith Murray Word of the Week as one of the first recurring bits.
You know
on
what?
Chrome
I
Bills.
Think next time I'm gonna have my mom call in and read the lyrics.
That's a good. That's a really good
okay.
idea.
Okay, or my grandmother.
If we could do it,
or my grandmother.
Technologically, I'd be all for it.
Well, how many times, Chuck, are we going to get more than two right? I don't think very often. That game's hard.
I figured Chuck would at least know the Kanye, but you disappointed me, Chuck.
I blame J. Cole because that's the only album I've been listening to for the last 2 weeks. I really have not checked the Kanye.
Man,
joint. I went through it once.
Yeah.
I went through it once. I'm not going to say I didn't like it. I'm just going to say I haven't gone
yeah,
back.
Yeah, J. Cole's not very misogynistic. He's very politically correct and righteous with his lyrics.
Yeah.
Which is so disappointing to me.
I was going to say.
You're obviously being sarcastic.
I'm being sarcastic. I was actually surprised at the lyrics from the Mac Miller album because I did do a little bit of scouring to try to find some silly lines, and it took me a while to find one that was kind of... That was kind of silly. So maybe I've been judging him based on his delivery alone, and because he was actually had some pretty ill lines in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is my public apology and my concession.
I did hear somebody sent me it was Mac Miller and Action Bronson.
Yeah.
And it was kind of nice. I liked it. It was cool.
The only thing is that there was a line in the song with Action Bronson where he said, "My melody is heavenly. Reminds you of Kenny G," which I thought was a little bit suspect of a line, but I'll you know, he gets a pass for that.
Can you get the AO for me? Nice.
Yeah.
I'm not there. You
You're
know?
Not there.
I'm all the way up
you.
Here.
I hear you.
So,
and what did I say earlier? Money haha.
Money haha in French Montana.
So, Steve, French you've Montana been reading a book lately, right? Haha. You want to talk about that? This is...
It's funny that I say I live in Manhattan, and I haven't been above 34th Street since I moved here.
I live in a farm in Maryland. I don't understand that joke.
I have been reading a book, but my recall is not very good at this moment.
Okay.
So...
Are you high?
I'm a little bit...
Steve, we need to talk.
The vodka and the Maker's Mark are mixing quite nicely.
Yeah.
I'm ready to rap, though. I'll tell you that much.
Wait a minute. You drank vodka and Maker's Mark?
I drank Maker's Mark a little bit earlier.
Okay.
I am sweating a lot, aren't I?
Because you're fucking drunk. You're hammered.
Steve sweats
Dude,
a
you've
lot.
Dude, you've had like a half
hey,
a cup
my cat
of vodka.
Is tripping out. I'll be back in 30 seconds.
I'm good. Are you actually walking?
I'll be
you're
right
actually
back.
Walking away from the podcast?
Hold it down for me.
He just, well, he did contribute that little mic bump.
We'll try to remember that later. Yeah.
That was Chuck's butt,
okay,
everybody.
I do want to plug the book because I haven't read a book other than the J-Zone book since like 2006 or 7.
Okay.
And I've got over 500 pages of this book under my belt and it's been nothing. And it's called The Big Payback by Dan Charnas. And it is all about the business of hip hop. Okay. And it goes through basically the beginning of rap, starting with promoting of shows, the first DJs who were ever to make money off being a hip hop DJ, the first MCs who were ever able to book a show. And then it moves on to the early record labels. Indie record labels like Sugar Hill, Profile Records, and man, it's super interesting. Just the dues that have been paid by people that you've never heard of.
Right.
And yeah, they just I don't think they've gotten their just due until this book. I mean, this guy really gives a lot of credit to the pioneers of hip hop.
Right.
And this has always been kind of a pet peeve of mine of folks who really claim hip hop, and this is a criticism on myself as well, but who do it and they're all about it and their life is hip hop, I'm hip hop this and hip hop that, but they don't really give credit to the people who were there paying dues very early on,
right,
and figuring out how to make this a business, how to make it a better art form, and how to make a, you know, a living off of it.
Or even style wise.
Exactly. So that was my soapbox moment. So everybody go out and get The Big Payback by Dan Charnas. He was a writer for The Source for a while. He worked at Profile Records, amongst other things.
There we go.
So he's got some great... And the way that it's written is... it's not just straight facts. He writes it like a story based on factual information with the footnotes and everything.
Okay.
So...
That's dope.
Yep.
Sounds like a good read. I read a book called Hip Hop Wars by a woman named Trisha Rose. And the main thing she says... The first thing she starts the book off with... I immediately was like, yo, I disagree with that. So we're kind of in a weird place.
What was the first statement?
So for me, hip-hop is a communal response to oppression. And rap is the voice of that community, right? I mean, it might have morphed into something else, but I still feel like there's a very definitive form of it. No? You disagree?
I would say it morphed into a voice for people who are oppressed.
Right.
I think originally it was a way to party.
Right.
To be honest, okay. I think it was originally a way to party, and then when it really started hitting was when Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five made The Message, and I think then it really took off as, okay, we can get a point across here.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the point...
Yeah, I was listening to an interview today with actually the guy who wrote what's the Christmas movie that Bill Murray's in? Is it called Scrooge? No, Scrooge. And it was the guy who wrote that, and he said that of any place he'd ever lived in his life, in any environment he'd ever been in, that New York in 1978 was just the most creative place, and that you had, like, disco music was popping uptown, hip-hop was just starting, street art was starting, people were crazy into art, people were writing film, and then at the same time, if you went, like, one block off Broadway in the wrong direction... you might get fucking killed. Like, it was just this weird aspect, right, of, like, there was, well, maybe not so much oppression, but it was just
It was an outpouring of artistic expression. I mean, at the same time, you had a blossoming punk scene going on. You had all this downtown art scene going on with, like, Andy Warhol. You had graffiti.
Oh, and don't forget, that was right when SNL popped, like right then when the SNL cast was like insane with whoever was on it back right when it started.
Belushi, Eddie Murphy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The point she's making is that...
My fault. We got you off target there.
Well, no, it was actually very good examples to bring up, because all those things you're talking about, for the most part, they were very localized. Like, New York had a scene, LA had a scene, eventually Atlanta had a scene. Everywhere had scenes, but some people were throwing superstars out of them. Whereas I think as that went forward, you know, it was like... when it became mainstream... it was no longer localized. It was this, like, cloud in the sky. And what her point was, that's all we should pay attention to. And I was like, A, I think you could easily make the opposite choice and pay attention to none of that and still have a good hip-hop experience. But I think overall... And then she also goes on to say, but you should also deny or just ignore the marginalized and the so-called underground. Where I'm like, dog, like... you really don't know what the fuck you're talking about when you say that there is no underground for rap music. I mean, there definitely is. How vibrant or economically viable it is to you, that's another matter. But they're still making dope shit.
Right.
Whereas, you know, the whole idea of just listen to the mainstream, I think it should be in the middle. You should have awareness of both. Now, I say that as somebody who actively avoids listening to urban rap stations. Like, it's like, if one of those songs becomes popular enough, I'll eventually hear it. You know, but it's not going to be. I want to hear Micah 9. You know, I'm not dissing what's on the radio. It's just not, I'm not into it. But I can also be aware of what that is and not deny its existence and still be like, now I know what's going on.
Right.
As opposed to just being like, yeah.
I respect your roots in the underground.
Thank you.
The underground perspective.
Yeah.
Because I've definitely strayed away from it recently, I feel.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, is I'm just like, you, like, but you know it's there. To say that this is not viable, when she said that, I was like, dude, that is such a myopic way of looking at things.
Uh-huh. Well, when was the book?
I think
written?
It came out in 2011.
And who is she? I mean, what are
her name's Trisha Rose. She's a really, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I disagree with that assertion. As she goes on in the book, I agree with the house that she builds on that foundation.
How's the writing?
It's very good.
Okay.
She's a genius. I mean, she's definitely brilliant. And her perspective is reasoned very well. She's a professor. I think she graduated from Brown.
Okay.
I don't know as much about her as I should.
Can she break dance, do you think?
I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know.
Did you guys ever try to break dance?
Yeah. Wale. I'll take Wale.
The answer Wale. Is Wale. Wale likes girls with bright teeth and clean feet, apparently.
You know them toes better be clean.
You better clean them toes.
When you get on the floor, clean them toes.
All right, so we've managed to hit the 30 plus minute mark quite nicely. I want to congratulate the two of you.
Yo, we one thing it. I wanted to ask you guys,
what's up?
Since I had planned a lot of stuff in case we had nothing going
okay.
on, is that, you know, I recently bought this new equipment, which is the Scarlett.
Are you bigging up your equipment?
Well, I just wanted to say what it is, but it's gonna lead into something. Patience, my friend.
My
patience.
Fault.
So it's a Scarlett, and it's basically like a USB studio port. And I'm sitting here as I plug it in and wondering, high fives, do you think that studios like will actually be phased out? I know that Sound City was a very like legendary place in somewhere on the West Coast, LA, I think. And the guy from Foo Fighters, what's his name? Dave Grohl did a documentary about it and bought all the equipment before they closed it down. Do you think that studios are going to be phased out? Because outside of a vocal booth, you can pretty much do everything in your own house now. And I even want to tack on to this question that I saw a $99 mic at a store today in New York that has Pro Tools software in the microphone when you plug the USB mic in.
Wow. My answer to that question would be that it will be tied directly to whether major labels still exist in the music industry. As soon as the majors go, then the studios go.
But what's tying a major label to a studio other than just, I guess,
having the ultra professional mastering and mixing of your music?
And control. They probably own the studio and therefore what gets made in it. I don't think that they'll be obsolete. What I do think will happen is that the way that market has started to work is those quality studios will become fewer and far between.
Yeah.
But I don't think that overall number in this country would sink below, say, like 20. And I'm sure there's a major one in LA, a big one in New York.
There's a lot of them, you know.
Yeah there's like still viable a lot of ones. Ones
yeah,
that,
there's yeah. still a lot of big studios.
They're not hurting for shit because you can make a record.
Are there
at home.
Are there still big studios in New York?
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, where are people recording?
Oh,
now
definitely.
They're like, oh shit, we're getting it down at Blank Studio.
Premier has his own studio. Just Blaze has his own studio. I wouldn't be surprised if I know that Dre has his own studio. But those are just the hip hop artists, you know.
Well, where are they in that J commercial?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm sure Rick Rubin has a studio somewhere.
I mean, where are they? And actually, that leads to a bigger point because we haven't even talked about this on the podcast. And Cole may or may not even know that commercial existed.
The Jay-Z commercial with Timberland.
The Jay-Z commercial that came out during Game 5 of the NBA Finals.
And Rick Rubin's laying on the couch. Did you notice that?
Here was my comment to that. I don't know. I don't think you were in on this email thread, but...
Oh, thanks.
Every time I see Rick Rubin, he's always laying on a couch or sitting in a chair. This dude, he must have a bad back.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you guys would have a lot
Kill
of...
Kill you.
He never had...
Dude,
he,
Cole's back is so bad, he's off the screen. Like, Steve, look at the Google Plus screen of what you guys are sending.
It looks just like shoot. I'm talking
it's like
to myself.
Cole's, it has Cole's arm in it, and that's it. I think his leg just showed up in there. because he was trying to be funny. But
I actually had a conversation with him, and he said, Cole, your music is absolutely fucking terrible, and I'm never going to sign you, so don't ask about it again. But whenever you want to talk about your back, hit me up. We can relate, you know?
Wow. Rick, changing the view.
Rick Rubin's kind of an ill dude, though.
Oh, yeah.
Respect.
Yo, he mastered audio. I'm going to bring Audio Slave up on the podcast. Their first album.
He produced Audio Slave album.
The second one, and this is the thing, the first Audio Slave album was like, this album sounds like they took Chris Cornell and put him with Rage Against the Machine. So does the third one, so does the fourth one. The second one is mixed and mastered so well by Rick Rubin. I don't know what the hell that is. It's amazing.
I might need to hear that because I've never heard that album.
You have to listen to it in headphones or like in a stereo where you really can notice shit, but he just, it's not complicated, but it's just, he nails it.
I'm sorry, Chuck, to interrupt you, but he did a Counting Crows first album.
Really?
Did you realize that?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... That's dead.
He did Slayer. He did early Slayer albums. It's cool.
What's on the Counting Crows first album? Is that like Shake Your Moneymaker?
I have not a clue.
So Hot to Handle.
Yes.
And
yeah,
She Talks to Angels and all that shit. Like the one that popped?
The one that popped was Too Hard to Handle, which is an Otis Redding cover, if I'm not mistaken.
It's an Otis Redding cover.
Yeah,
correct.
and that really popped off.
Well, She Talks to Angels is a cover too. There's like a lot of those songs are covers, but they kind of reinvented.
That's very hip. The Counting Crows
were
very
actually a cover band. People like, yeah.
No, but I think there's one thing to do a cover and there's another thing to reinvent it. I mean,
totally.
And there's songs that are harder than others to reinvent. Like, I don't think anyone could ever reinvent Rapper's Delight without it being like, you know, it was cool when Death Squad did it. It was very cool, but like, you're not going to create a new song the way that sometimes people will redo a song and you're like, if you take the Nina Simone and the Animals version of Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, they're like completely different songs, and they were both very popular songs in the 70s.
You know who I feel does do that well is when you see the Roots and they do a little section where it's some hip hop 101.
Yeah.
And he, you know, the way that they execute the songs is in that line. But I mean, to your point, Chuck, it's still not the same. It's not, it doesn't, I don't know. I know what you're talking about. I can't explain it, but I know what you're talking about.
I like that this is like a total inside thing, but when you move the Google camera over so where I could actually see Cole, he just stood up.
Mm-hmm. He's not helping the cause is what you're saying.
I have not made eye contact with Cole during this entire podcast.
That's all right.
My eyes hurt because of my back.
It's all good. I'm right here, man. I'm right here.
I see you. Yeah, yeah.
So I was reading in Forbes magazine that vitamin D is really good for your skin.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, C's Mike?
I think it's true, man. It definitely boosts your mood, boosts your immunity system, boosts testosterone. I think getting sun is one of the most important things you can do.
So, K-Chrome, what's the next concert that you're headed to in New York City?
I'm actually torn between two events that are coming
up.
I was going to bring this up off air, but I was going to try and get either one of you or both to come up the weekend after July 4th, so I think it's like the 13th.
Okay.
Is the Brooklyn Hip Hop Fest.
Yeah.
Which is out in Brooklyn of all places.
Where is it?
And it's in Brooklyn.
Is that new? Is that the new place? Mm-hmm.
It's EPMD Reunion. Redman's gonna be there. A lot of other very good 90s rap
so
artists
just
on top
Def
of that.
Def Squad, alright.
And then, oh, there's other people too. I don't have the list in front of me. If I was doing better show prep, I would.
Okay.
And then the other one is Peter Rosenberg on his birthday now throws a show called Peter Palooza. It's a little bit more underground oriented. It's definitely Meek Mill's Odd Future, probably Action Bronson type people that will be at that one. So I will be attending one or both of those.
Dope. So do you know Action Bronson's manager is Dante Ross?
Apparently it's not anymore.
Oh, okay.
I was hanging out with Henley last weekend, who Cole knows.
Oh, yeah.
Who, let's just name drop Henley on the podcast.
Shout out to Henley.
I was hanging out with
Shout
Jesus.
Out to Henley Hallam. He was,
Bill Clinton told me.
He's managed the Beatnuts. I'm trying to think who else. Jurassic 5, Roll Rock Cole. Raider, Kid Cudi. And he was saying that, because I joked with him and I said, I could have sworn that you were going to be Action Bronson's manager just based off of who you've managed. And he said that it was the dude. What's the name you just said?
Dante Ross.
Dante Ross, who was involved in the third base when they first started.
He was an A&R for Tommy Boy and Elektra. He signed De La Soul, Brand Nubian, third base. I don't know if he actually signed third base or not, but
I know that on the Action Bronson Nardwar interview,
yeah, he's in that.
He talks about how he is mentioned in the gas face.
Yeah, he's in the right. Yeah, they called it. It's Dante the Scrub. Yeah, Dante's in. He's in. He's got an ill resume, man.
Apparently, there was an Action Bronson show on Tuesday night in New York that was very popping to the point that he was in the New York Times on Thursday. I sent out a link.
Yeah, I saw a video of him. Some fan jumped up on stage, and he.
I think he might have like snuffed him.
Yeah,
right?
No, he didn't punch him. He did a leg sweep and knocked the guy on the ground, and then security like took him off the stage.
Whoa.
Yo, you know why you impressive. Punch He's... instead of leg sweep? Because when you, so many things rhyme with leg sweep. Like, you've got 8 bars right there.
He was thinking of something that would rhyme with lamb's feet. He said, I was cooking soup with lamb's feet. A fan jumped
on
stage.
Had to hit a sucker with the leg sweep.
Exactly. The lamb is laced with fennel.
Yo, I still say that cash off the top joint is so fire. Cash off the top, cash off the top. Play with my money, my love, I can get.
Yeah, original.
Yo, question. Yes. We've got about 10 minutes left in the beats. Did you have any hip-hop beats in this one or no?
Thank you for pointing that out. This is actually a main source beat, so that is actually sacrilege on your part to not know this is the main source. I don't even know.
It's all good. I went
Chuck,
to Lafrec City.
Chuck, we're at DEF CON 7.
You're at level 7.
We're at DEF CON 7.
You don't
right
know
now.
A main source instrumental.
He's looking at you very.
Dude, I went to Lafrec City on.
It's getting ugly.
I went to Lafrec City yesterday, Lafrec so it's City. All good.
CNN.
And Akineli is from there as well.
I think Noriega.
Which It's the Bomb is a Large Professor joint, in case you didn't know.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that Noriega and Capone Noriega's ad libs are some of the finest out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you don't think they're, you know, crazy technical with the lyrics, you got to give it up for the ad libs.
They're entertaining.
Yo, Steve, you know what they have in Lafrec City, among many other things?
Frac.
Guns?
Street side bioretentions.
No, they don't. All right.
Yeah, that's where the Department of the Environment
this is
put
where
some of
hip-hop
the trial ones in.
And engineering collide.
This is where hip hop lives and meets water quality.
Where hip hop lives. That was dope. You can tell that I've been reading this book because Where Hip Hop Lives was first coined by WKMEL in Los Angeles as their tagline for their radio.
Okay.
They were the first mainstream radio station to be dedicated exclusively to hip hop. And then I believe that got picked up by Hot 97.
Okay.
All right. A little knowledge for you right there.
Sprinkled.
Shout out to WKMEL. Oh, no, it's not WKMEL. It's just KMEL. All right.
You said the same thing.
My bad.
You said KMEL twice, right?
No, I said WKMEL. There's okay. No W there.
Yeah. It's like that's a long-ass call name.
All right, so Broken Clock.
Coming up at the top of the hour on WGFYZNLSP.
W, who gives a fuck radio? Signing in with Chrome Billionaires.
True that.
Yo,
true that.
So I can't wait to make the first Chrome Billionaire. But I will say, the first person that memorizes an entire episode, word for word, I will give $1 billion.
I would like to hear, here's my challenge for the listeners. Can you do a cover of
Listen to this podcast.
First of all, listen to the podcast. Second of all, I'd like to hear a cover version of the theme song.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to post the instrumental with Chuck's vocals. Just turn back just a little, and I want to hear your cover version of the theme song.
Yo, for the record,
is that a diss?
I think the theme song is fire. I just
the
want
theme
to come
song
out
is fire.
Say that.
You killed.
I think the theme song is
and
fire.
And for the record, that was you writing the lyrics first, right? Or do you had a skeleton?
Yeah, I wrote it before you. I wrote it before you had the beat, and then there was a really cool freestyle that we had.
Yeah.
The duty drawers. Yes. The duty drawers freestyle.
That doesn't It'll sound forever so, go in down retrospect, as. It doesn't sound like it's that fire of a freestyle. The duty drawers
freestyle.
You had
freestyle. To be there.
But I was like, yo, let's shit. Just use that as the beat. It was some beat you were playing live on the MPC when we were freestyling. And we had taped like hours of freestyles. I'm like, let's just use that beat. And then you did a really good job.
Yeah. I'm an accomplished producer. I have at Someone least hit the three applause. Beats. I have at hit least the applause three beats under my belt and maybe one rap verse. Mm-hmm.
It's basically an album.
Dude, you're basically shitting on that idea that there's no underground hip hop.
So, what
if there is a dude in Germany that's like, oh God, that dude Steve Bills is so ill, yo. I don't even know about this dude.
That is extra underground. He's bumping the new Broken Clock and he doesn't even have it yet.
Nah, I know.
He's like, this is the new shit.
He's tapped into my brain.
So when can we expect to hear the Broken Clock record?
I don't know. I finished doing all the vocal stuff. It's going to get mixed and mastered. I'm talking to somebody about whether or not they're going to put it out. If they don't put it out, that'll accelerate the timetable.
Okay.
But so, when that timetable gets determined, it's kind of on them.
So in the industry, people would define your release date by quarters. So what quarter would you be? Overtime or?
I want it to be...
overtime. Well, penalty kicks. Yeah. Penalty kicks.
First, it's sudden death. If this record doesn't sell, I have to die. I think I'd look at it more seasonally. This isn't something I would want to come out in July. I want this to come out like the last week of October, and then you have like 6 months.
You already did Winning Winter, so right. I think you've got 3 seasons left to really move with.
Well,
this.
I've done stuff. I feel like the other stuff fits. Like I feel like Right Here is a good spring record. Hello, Big Mama's kind of just weird.
It's eclectic. It is an eclectic CD, for sure.
Do not call it Failing Fall.
Failing Fall. No, I already got the name.
It's sort of an offset of Winning Winter.
It's called Cruel Fuel.
Oh, Broken Clock's not the name of the record?
Well, so Broken Clock is me and whoever I'm working with at the time. The first one I did was with Cam One and then a bunch of people on beats.
Okay.
Jason, TK, Cam. This next one is just Max and I. And so it's like, I don't want to call this a Seize Mike's album. I didn't make the beats.
True.
I want to give credit where it's due. So okay. Under that umbrella, Broken Clock, and then the name's Cruel Fuel.
I got it. I like, what's the...
You say Cruel Fuel?
Cruel Fuel.
Cruel Fuel. Okay, doesn't sound that cool, but Cruel Fuel.
That's dope.
Thank you.
And what's the meaning behind that?
I did, like, the last couple of years are just a lot of bad shit's happened. So it was like, all right, you know, I don't want to... have a journal or a diary for an album, but what the hell else am I going to talk about? I don't think about a whole lot else. And I don't just mean, like, personal situations. Like, the world has changed a lot in the last 4 or 5 years. Like, the crazy thing about this recent NSA shit, an article came out about that in the USA Today in, like, 2006. It didn't say to what extent things were, but I'm like, nobody fucking cared then. Why all of a sudden is everybody like, holy shit? Like, of course the government, like, if you were that fucking important, the government could narrow your shit down.
I am surprised that USA Today put together a credible article forecasting the future.
I've talked to Chuck about this. Those people can get to you if they want to. You're just... 99% of you are not important enough for that to even be an issue. Right. So shut the fuck up.
Right.
So.
Yeah, like I said, the best way I ever heard it explained is like, for 99% of the world, you can pull up next to them at a stoplight and know that they ain't
right.
But to like, you do not need to monitor what they're doing.
But to me,
the
question is, why all of a sudden is that the case? And I think now with all of this stuff, Twitter, Facebook, like, everyone is so fucking narcissistic, it's insane.
I thought Colbert had the best line about it. He was like, I'm so fed up, I will never use a Verizon phone again. I'm going to change my plan, and I don't even need to call them and tell them because they're listening.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, in that sense, I feel like that's something that's worth focusing on. So just, you know, a bunch of bad shit.
Okay.
And I tried to make it entertaining. And okay. Max's production is amazing.
All right.
And I promise it's a really good record, and it'll be out in 18 months.
I've heard a bunch of it. It's very dope.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to your CD as well, K-Chrome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for two beats from you.
I am going to get those beats done ASAP. Okay, I promise.
I know a producer in New York that lives on the Upper West Side that has ADD that would love to jump in and take either you or Cam's spot if you guys are slow with the beats.
Why don't you just make it a 2x5 and then I can relax a little.
Yeah, but then
bit.
I can't use a lumber yard as the
I don't think you're really into lumber like that anyway, so you can just... Call it something else.
I wouldn't even know a 2x4 if you handed me one.
Well, you should, on the cover, you could put the person, the people's names on the 2x4s. Like, each one of those is one.
Yeah, there we go.
You got, yeah.
You just talked me out of a placement on an album, man.
Can let me do a beat for you?
Cole, you trying to do a
beat
on this album?
I'll just...
Hey, can you talk to Max about it?
I'm going to call Rick Ross, and I'm going to give... I'm going to have him roofie Steve.
All right.
And then I'm going to get a couple beats off of his computer.
Hey, I'm going to get a Rick Ross interview for the next Chrome Bills.
That'll go well.
All right.
I'm going to change the name of the album to She Ain't No.
Hey, so I think we're getting... Actually, what beat are you hearing in the background there?
We're pretty synced up. I'm here in OC.
Okay.
I think we're only off by like a second.
All right, cool. Well, gentlemen,
it's been enjoyable.
I would like to hear an offbeat K-Chrome freestyle at this point.
Yes, here we go.
Yeah.
I'll sync it up later. Don't worry about
styles that you can't see. I'm about to lose. So coming up right now, we've got the Steve Bills premiere rap. This is K-Chrome signing off for Chrome Bills episode 13 with C's Mike, Steve Bills, and K-Chrome. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Check it out. This is not a test. This is fucking official. Shut the fuck up. And shut the fuck up. Let's go the fuck in. Check it. I know it's been a second since you heard a rhyme perfected. But really, what's a record if selectors don't select it? So check my method. My mentality is mathematic. So don't try to keep up if you're asthmatic. See, this goes out for those who rhyme it just a little. And your candy-coated bars that are sweeter than a Skittle. Who don't know that acting hard can also make you brittle. So peep the way I'm rocking in the rhythm with this riddle. If Peter Piper picked a peck of fucking pickled peppers. And peppers picked by Peter, all the best has been ingested. And the words that I'm speaking, all the peppers manifested. And don't be fucking fickle with the fact that I finesse it. So fuck off your clothes, your poems come in last place. I'll melt you to glue and use your skull as an ashtray. And if you try to play me like these lyrics,